wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this November 9th, Saturday morning. And we welcome you here. We've got a full crew this morning. And good morning, Brother Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Morning.
And good morning, Brother Zach.
Good morning.
And we've got Brother Paul from Michigan as well. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
And we welcome you, the remnant. We say good morning to you, and thanks for joining us here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Network. Broadcasting Network. Hopefully you have your coffee. That's the name of the program, is Coffee with the Wranglers. And we've got our Bibles and we've got our coffee, and we're prayed up, and we're looking forward to a good broadcast this morning. We'll have phone lines open in a little bit, but Jason, we'd ask if you'd get us started out on the right foot with a good prayer.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we just ask for your blessing upon this program this morning. We ask for your blessing upon your people this morning, Father, and we ask that you look down to them, that you tend to their needs, and we just cry out to you. And Father, I pray, Father, for your people to become unenslaved and for them not to continue to bury themselves in slavery. I pray, Father, that you shine your face down upon your people, Father, and that they seek your face, that they turn from their wicked ways, that they climb out of the hole that they've dug for themselves, that they turn from their wicked ways. We ask, Father, that you war with those that war with us, that you strengthen your people, that you encourage your people, that you allow your people to be a light into a dark world, Father. And we pray, lift up our hands, and we ask that here we are, Father, use us. Use us in a mighty and powerful way. And, Father, we take the authority that we have over the demonic forces of hell, the spiritual forces of wickedness, the terrors that come to steal, kill, and destroy. And Father, we ask that you look down upon them and that you bind them and that you deal with them as you see fit, Father. But remove them from our midst, Father. Remove those thorns in our side. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen.
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 Amen. Amen and hallelujah. Well, Remnant, we have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913, if you'd like to call in, if you have a comment. And we'd be glad to, we'll sure try to address it. And one headline that caught my eye, we kind of mentioned it before the program here, was we've had these, as we become more and more like a third world country in the big cities, these homeless camps have been in the news. We're seeing more and more of them. I know California has had them. Oakland had a headline here that they removed 75 truckloads, over 250 tons of trash from one, just an encampment now. It's a homeless shelter. And these are not usually full of illegal aliens, but Americans for the most part. And it says that they've done that, and they have about 60 to 80 people that are living there, and they're going to okay it till the, you know, through the winter, but they moved all this trash out, and they said they still estimate another 50 tons to go, you know, many of us think, well, that doesn't affect me. I'm not in a big city, or I don't go down there by them. One of them is right next to a Home Depot. And the Home Depot has had all kind of problems out there in this one part of Oakland with, you know, 100 homeless people setting up shelter right next door. And it's been a safety concern. It's been bad for their business. There have been fires all the time there. And we saw, I think it was Austin, down in Texas that was addressing this same last week or two. And I'm sure that, anyway, it just seems like that we're seeing it a little bit more in the media. Maybe these large cities are finally having to address this. We've seen headlines and of possible typhus outbreaks and severe health problems in these camps. Because of just the filth that is there.
Well, one thing that they're not talking about too much, too, is the fact that these conditions have created, biblical proportion rat problems, too. I mean, the rats are in California and New York, and they don't know what to do about it. And in my opinion, it's a recompense of what they're doing that God is bringing down upon some of these states. But I read something that if two healthy rats within, I think it was 6 months or 9 months, could create 430,000 rats. It seems kind of astronomical, but I don't know. I guess it's possible.
Well, and one of the things that they're not talking about, too, is since these fires in California, they have these homeless cities, and it's making the crisis of the homeless crisis in the state of California even worse. These people, there's a lot of people that are just, there's no places to rent. They've gotten burned out. The fires they've either been evacuated. A lot of those people that they're finding out now that have been evacuated, they're living on the streets. There's no place for them to go. And they've been evacuated and sealed off parts of California because of these fires. Because of the smoke and everything, and you know, it's just made the whole crisis out there even worse.
Yes, it has. We, you know, many people forget because it seems like the people in this country are just good for about a 15-second soundbite, and then it's what's next, what's next. They check their phone, they drink their double Swiss latte, and then it's what's next, and there's no remembrance. It's just been a year ago that we had the campfire out in California. And a little town called Paradise, California, burned to the ground. And they were about, that's about the size of Laramie, about 30,000 people there. And so just imagine about 30,000 people without a home, without a town. And you see little blurbs every now and then, very recently, in the last couple of months, the first home being rebuilt in Paradise. The first home out of a town of 30,000 people. Elderly, families, working people, gone. And so you're absolutely right, Jason. You know, just imagine that. What, you know, where do those 30,000 people go? Where do they live now? Where do they work now? But and that's not the only town, like you said, Jason, that's been evacuated, that's been all but sealed off because of this death and destruction, these fires. It is much greater. There's a whole lot more to it than just what you see on the news.
Well, there's a mass exodus too. Go ahead,
Zach.
Well, I think that those fires and stuff are good because, you know, for those people out there, I mean, we all know that California, I mean, we know what comes out of California. We know what comes out of Hollywood. We know what the governor's doing and all that other type of thing. But, you know, some of those people, they might, these things happening might get those people to turn. It might get those people to actually repent. And that's really what it boils down to, is they have to repent. And it starts with one person, and then, you know, then maybe that can be the catalyst and have that kind of fire, a fire of repentance, you know. Because there's nobody else that can get your attention the way God can get your attention. You can sit there and talk to people until you're blue in the face, but until they actually feel pain, that comes from God Almighty himself, you know, the Israelites have a tendency not to listen. I mean, God does call a sheep, and it's a judgment of character. And anybody that knows anything about sheep, they're not the sharpest tool in the shed. And, you know, so if God gets their attention, then they might listen. Now, we all know there's a lot of Edomites and that sort of thing out there, but there are Israelites out there. And, you know, we should be praying that God does grant them repentance, that God does grant them, you know, to draw them towards his word, because that really is the only way out. And that's the way I see it.
Amen. I agree with you. And it's, you know, I mean, and you look at the crises that we've had and the crisis that people have got themselves into. You know, we had I was reading several stories this week, and I've seen it happen. I mean, I've seen people that are buying, one of the things that I've noticed is people are buying cars that they can't afford, or buying cars and they're paying twice what they're worth. And they start making payments on them, and it's like, what in the heck? How in the heck are they getting a loan for a vehicle that the car's not even worth that much? And I've seen, here was one story, and it was this guy, he buys a $27,000 Jeep Cherokee with a $45,000 loan from Ally Financial. And, you know, I mean, it's basically they take these cars and they roll them over, and when they can't afford to get their car fixed, or they can't afford tires, they trade it in and they buy a new car. And it's really an epidemic across this country. And it's the same thing if we look at this the way that we looked at the housing crisis that we had in 2007, 2008, where people were you know, paying $300,000 for a house that was worth $200,000, it got people into a lot of trouble. You know, there had to be a correction at some point in time. And that's what, you know, I've been thinking a lot about, is we need to get, you know, people, I don't know if they're just uneducated or if they just don't have any options or what the deal is, but they're becoming enslaved. And I mean, the people are slaves out there. I mean, when you're paying $45,000 for a car that's worth $27,000, or Blue Book on it is $27,000, or if you were paying cash, you're paying $27,000, I mean, that is a huge, 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 huge difference right off the bat. And that's not counting the interest payments that people are making. I mean, I talked to somebody the other day, and they went down to get an auto loan, and they wanted 20% interest on an auto loan. And, you know, I told them that was insane. And they're like, oh, really? Well, you know, we really don't understand interest and understand how that works. And I said, yeah. I said, that's, you know, you're insane if you're going to pay 20% interest on a 20% annual interest on a loan, I mean, you're going to bury yourself, and you're never going to get out of that debt. And it's, you know, I talk about enslavement, but we see it on all different kinds of fronts right now. But this vehicle one is something that I see coming is there's going to be a correction on it at some point in time. And there's a lot of people that are like this Ally Financial that's loaning all these monies. It's one of the companies that goes in, and they go into the car dealerships, and they say, okay, here, you can, we're gonna back you. You can get your loan through us, you know, and basically you can borrow money at a certain percentage and then turn around and, you know, it's unregulated at that point in time. So it's one of those things that, you know, we're gonna have to see a correction on that, you know, in the really close future as far as I'm concerned.
I don't understand why people don't take the payment and then times it by the number of months that they're paying, so that when they actually understand what they're paying for their vehicle. And that's not even including insurance. it's literally that simple. This is how much.
Yeah, and then look at the difference on what on the payout. Yep, I agree.
You have to be able to do math to do that.
That's right, and the Common Core math that they've been taught, Zach, is not, they don't understand to multiply that $419 payment times 12 and then times the 7 or 8 or 10 years that they have it financed. They don't understand that. You know, they've been brought up in this new map, this Common Core map, that is, okay, your payment is $419. How do you feel driving that car? And that's their math question. And
they say that over 33%, over one-third of the people that bought new vehicles in 2019 had negative equity in it. So basically they traded in a car and they bought a car owing more on their next vehicle than what their vehicle was worth. So basically they were already backwards. And that's over a third of the country of the people that bought vehicles in 2019. That's huge.
I was talking to a guy the other day that owes $80,000 on a Ford F-150. They got him that upside down. And his payments are $1,500 a month for his truck. And
oh, my
goodness. How he did it was the same thing. He just got a new truck every couple of years and took the hit on it, and they kept financing it. But, yeah, I mean, what we don't realize is that's a big part of the economy.
It is.
Part of the problem is, too, though, it's saturation. You know, at some point, if people are, everybody out there, if you look around, there's a lot of new vehicles around or within a couple of years, and eventually everybody has a car that's going to buy one, and, you know, that's a year or two old. And if they don't continue to sell new cars, well, then that problem continues. So they entice them with trading in their old cars. People, they don't even look at anything anymore except for maybe sometimes the monthly payment. Well, can I make the monthly payment? That's it. They don't care how long it goes or how much it's going to cost them in the long run, just like you said.
That's crazy.
Yeah, tell me about it. But you know what will happen. It'll be a big failure and a government bailout. But the bottom line is that they're running out of tricks, you know, the bankers are running out of tricks, and they're admitting it, really. I mean, they're going to start QE4 or 5 or whatever again, printing money out of nothing. But the thing that's changing is some of the countries are waking up, and they're starting to use different currencies. They're starting to use, I think it was one of the major oil companies started to back it with gold now, so as soon as the dollar is no longer the world's primary currency, then the Ponzi scheme's up.
Yep. I'll tell you something that's coming even bigger than all this, and that's food.
Yeah,
you have a major part of America that has not been planted last year. You're looking at famine straight in the face, you know, and food's pretty important to this whole thing. You know, paper currency, the Federal Reserve and all that is paper, and that's exactly what got us into trouble, just like your article, John, and the 501c3 churches, that they're God. And their God's going to fail them because you can't do it, because everybody's looking at, in Apple, they're looking at robotics if they can't get labor. Everything's looking at robotics to pick strawberries and stuff like that. But the thing is, who's going to buy that strawberry if they ain't got a job? It's a dead end street, no matter how you look at it.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you brought up the 501c3, Paul. A couple of months ago, I was at a retirement party for a guy that I used to work with, and one of the guys that's still at that company. This is back when I did concrete. I was at that individual's retirement party, and one of the guys, he's younger than I am. He comes up to me at the retirement party and he goes, I want to start doing coffee with you every Saturday morning. So, probably 5-6 weeks ago, we started showing up at a local restaurant at 6 a.m. Every Saturday morning, we were just sitting there drinking coffee. And for the most part, we've just been talking about work and stuff like that. And I had coffee with him this morning. And he brings up this one guy that was on his crew, and the guy started quoting scriptures to him. And he told me when the guy was bringing up scriptures, he's like, I knew what he was saying to me, and his assessment was wrong. And I thought, well, you know, here's my opportunity. I'm going to give him some education. And I brought up the 501c3, what they stood for, and what the restrictions on it. You know, you can't lobby, you can't endorse somebody running for a political position. I explained to him advocacy jurisdiction, common law jurisdiction, how all that stuff works. And when I got done, he goes, this is why I wanted to have coffee with you. And it was only like a 5-minute, little conversation, but, you know, and he goes, this is why I wanted to have coffee with you, is because of stuff like this. And because back in the day when I worked with them, you know, I was the crazy one. I was the guy that was saying all the Latinos was a war of attrition. You know, I was a little bit more fired up back then. I'm more reserved now. And I think I send my statements down range a little more direct instead of so broad. But he was really happy that I brought that up to him. And he could understand, and he's starting to see the entrapment, and he doesn't have anywhere to turn. And I told him, like, you got to turn to the Word. It's that simple. That's the only thing that's going to get you out of it. And it'll be a great conversation this morning. So, you know, to all the remnant out there, be ready. Be ready at a moment's notice to lay it down, because it might come back. Now, that was a 5 or 6, 7 year time period, but that's why he was there. That's what he wanted to know. And so I gave him some hope. And, you know, that's maybe what this war is going to turn into. You know, just those little conversations. I don't know.
Amen. People are waking up. You know, when you first wake up in the morning, you might not be as sharp as you are right now. After you've been up a couple hours, you moved around a little bit, you've had your coffee, and you're up and going, and in the day, once you get up and going for a couple hours. When you first wake up, it's a process, and I think we are seeing that. One of the first pamphlets the pastor did was Awake, Awake, America. And it talks about that very thing that you're talking about, Zach, that people are, they will start, that's what they need to do. They need to awaken that, guess what, we have answers, and the answers are in the Word. But you're not going to see it on CNN. You're not going to read it in your news magazine. You're going to have to look into the Word for it.
Well, that will only be a remnant. You have to realize that.
Yes.
There's people that make choices that are forever. And they, if they're teachable, they're going to, you know, I live that lie. I work hard in the church, tried to save it, and I just had to leave, you know, because I confronted them on the 501c3 church 35 years ago, you know, because I understood it back then. But you see, I woke up, I guess, earlier than other people. But yes, people are going to reap what they sow, and it's not good. It's going to be ugly. The Bible tells us not to weep when the wicked are cut off, you know. And when people make choices, everybody on this line have been trying to tell it for years and hasn't had too much success. But, you know, I guess we got to learn from this, we must never give up, because somebody's going to wake up, you know. And that last Dragon Slayer, John, I thought was excellent. You know, that, and as what Zach has always talked about, that Abrahamic covenant was between God, and it's not between us, that we don't really have to do anything except obey. And we need to pray for our people that they do wake up. And they, but they're getting a good dose of it. This thing ain't working. You know, you talk about equity. There's farmers north of me about an hour and a half. There's a big cluster of productive dairy farms. And there's farms up there milking 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 cows with absolutely zero equity. And if they look at it, they're hired help at best. Because I deal with one that had 70%. He got a chance to sell his cows, and he did. Now he's debt-free, but, I mean, he's the only one up there in that whole area because they have expand. You know, it's what they believe. You got to get bigger. And there's no foundation for it. There's just absolutely no foundation. So it's a mess, to say the least.
Amen. Well, I guess I was reading something in Australia. It looks like they're already in famine conditions with the flooding and the drought and now the fires. Those people are experience what's soon to come to America, I believe.
Well, you know, Michigan, we're drowning. We've had over 20 inches of rain, probably 25 inches of rain since the first September, and there's crops in the field that are not being harvested. Some people got big machinery going after them, just tearing the fields up. And you go in southern Ohio, I understand there's a drought there. That's not that far away. You know, and,
yeah.
You know, that's Amos. He says, I send my rain here and we'll hold it there, and yet you still don't hear me. So he's going to get our attention before this is over.
Amen.
Nationally.
Amen. Yeah, John, I've seen that in Australia. I saw one comment. It said, it's like the apocalypse here. Because they've had such severe drought, and now they're in their fire season, similar to California. And again, record fires. And we're seeing that every year. Not just fires, but record fires. Bigger, hotter, faster, more destructive, just like we're seeing in California. And they are. They're in a mess out there in Australia, very, very similar to California.
Well, a little bit of good news is, I don't know if you remember the story, but that 7-year-old boy that the mother in Texas was trying to convert into a girl, and a judge in lower court basically took away the father's rights to say anything, and was overturned by a higher court. Judge Kim Cooks awarded the father joint custody. And anyways, the good news is that the boy, James Younger, decided to register for school as a boy. And the ruling is that the mother, Gurgulus, or whatever the heck her name was, is not allowed to attempt to convert this young boy into a girl, even though that she's tried it since the child was 3 by making him wear dresses and painting his nails, and she was trying to take it to the next level to convert the child through hormones. So I think that's a positive story. Although the judge did put a gag order on it so that it wasn't national like it was there for a little while, because they can't let that kind of stuff get out. But I thought it was encouraging to me to see that there was a judge who stood up against the lower courts and overruled their proceedings.
Amen. Yeah, it's good to see a little sanity every now and then, even in this system that we're in. Had a sheriff down in Florida that had put stickers back on his county's deputy cars, "In God We Trust," and all the freedom from religion threw a fit and came against him. And he said, "Tough, I put them on there. They're going to stay. So they're there for now. We'll see how that goes." And hopefully they do remain. We've talked about that, those choices that people have, and those lines that are being drawn, and it may not seem like a huge earth-shattering deal, but it's a choice. It's a choice, and some people are choosing wisely. Just like you said, Zach, some people are waking up. Some people are seeing that, I need answers, and this is who I've seen over the last several years that seems like they would have the answers, again, from the Bible. And don't think that's not the Holy Spirit guiding and directing and allowing the remnant to be a blessing to other people.
Yeah, I see people, when I was a teenager and a young adult, I knew that, I was taught from the church that I went to that, God was going to step in and straighten everything out. And I understood it was because of rebellion to his word and to his will. But I never could understand with all the churches that were in this land and across the world that had a cross, that were supposedly Christian. Like, how could you get the entire Christian world to revolt against God? And, as I grew in the Word and began to understand certain things, that it's all self-inflicted from the churches themselves. And, that's a big problem. That's why people don't believe. That's why you see this mass exodus of this younger generation that simply don't believe in Christianity because there's no power in it. Why would they? Because, you have all these churches saying, with them being 501c3s, yes, man's law is higher and stronger than God's law. In fact, don't even read the Old Testament. Don't even believe in anything that, you're just going to die and go to heaven and that's all you need to believe. And it came from within. It was very sneaky on our enemy's part. And, and just the fact that, people don't read their Bibles. And they just don't. They don't know. And, that's why I think these things that are happening is a good thing, because it's going to grab their attention. And, hopefully some of them will read their Bibles and be spared. And that's, that should be every Christian's mission, to be ready at a moment's notice to give somebody hope. Because they are out there. They are out there.
Amen, they are.
Yeah, going back to what Paul was saying, I was reading an article here. It says, farm country feeds America, but just try buying groceries there. It says, Winchester, Illinois, the only grocery store in a 1,500-person hometown in central Illinois, had to shut its doors. The stakes of failure were huge. Farm towns like Winchester that produce beef, corn, greens to feed the world are becoming America's unlikeliest food desert, as traditional grocery stores are forced out of business by fewer shoppers and competition from the dollar store chains. That's something you see, too. You wonder, well, why is it that Walmart gets involved in groceries, and why is it that Amazon buys up Whole Foods and is buying up grocery stores and all that? Well, eventually, if we don't continue to support the smaller grocery stores, those stores are going to put all these other ones out of business. And then, you could say whatever you want, but bottom line is, they say whoever controls the money controls the people. Well, whoever controls the food controls the people. And probably the only way that they could even fathom of getting our firearms is to starve the people. If it comes to feeding your children or keeping your gun, I know what I'm going to do, but a lot of people are going to trade their firearms for food.
For food, that's right.
I thought about this for years. Even storing food is a short-term thing because, God took Israel out of Egypt and he fed them. That's kind of where I put in my faith at the moment. But it's a serious situation. People sell themselves for food. They're desperate. But that's where faith steps in. We got to have faith, you know. And I don't know exactly how this is coming down. I had stored food 40 years ago, you know. I had silver and gold, and none of that's going to, it's just perishable. And it's the Spirit of God that'll take us through this. And that's what we got to keep in mind. But it's a serious situation, you know, extremely serious. You see, this is the problem for buying big box store. Yeah, they create jobs, but all the profit goes to headquarters, and it takes it out of the community. You go back 100, 150 years and look at these communities, the houses, stuff they built. I was out in New Hampshire a while back, and I was reading some stories about these people, how they made their money. One made money on food drying or grain drying equipment, and he built this huge tractor that was up Mount Washington, you know, with his money. But see, there was no tax then, and they all reinvested in the community. And, you know, income tax is destructive because, yeah, you work hard and stuff, and they take it. And that should have been never got through the churches. Whenever 1913, whenever it came in, that should have never got through. The church was alert and alive. This country died around 1900 when them enemies took over the seminaries, and this is where it all, you know, you take the person on the street, everybody thinks everybody gets to go to, you know, they can live anywhere they want, everybody gets to heaven in their own way. You know, the law's done away with. They're, you know, look at the consequences of Deuteronomy 28. This is the, you know, the Bible says that judgment will start first in the house of the Lord, and read it starts there, because that's where it's wrong. So these religious people, you know, well-to-do religious people, their world's going to come apart. Just let it happen. And that's why Zach gets a guy, yeah, I want to hear what you got to say. And that's going to happen more and more, I believe. You know, let your light shine.
Amen. Amen. Well,
most people don't even know what a blessing from God is. They don't even know what a curse from God is. You know, that's literally the level,
yes,
that you're dealing with. They don't even know what a blessing from God is. And you sit there and you talk to people, and you know, where you talk about having a farm and, you know, being profitable and stuff like that. I mean, you might as well be speaking Latin to them, because they don't understand that that's a blessing from God. You know, the storing food thing, well, that's a good short-term plan. Just say everything goes in the tank. Well, and we know it is, well, how are you going to survive? Well, look back on history. How did our forefathers in this country survive? I mean, they hacked it out of the ground. That's what they did, and it's still hacked out of the ground. So, you know, you better get a little education on growing something, too, you know, because you might need it.
Absolutely, Zach. Absolutely. The people have gotten to the point they don't realize that children are a blessing from God. You know, that's why the with the lawlessness that's going on, why the hearts of so many have grown cold, as the Word says. You know, I never really read the Bible till I came into this ministry about 28 years ago. And, of course, that's something that Pastor pushed and recommended and suggested and all but commanded you to do, was, you know, read the Word. And I remember years and years ago reading it, and the verse about, you know, older women teach, older women are to teach the younger women to love their husbands and to love their children. And I, you know, years ago when I read that, it was like, why would they have to do that? Well, today we see that the younger women don't love their husbands, and many don't love their children, because that love has grown cold because, as the Word says, of the lawlessness that's in the land. And so now it makes sense that is what the godly people do, is they teach. They teach. The older men, the godly men, are to teach the other men, the younger and the other generations, the ways of God, and the women as well. In Deuteronomy 28, a perfect example. Hosea 4:6, we've read it before. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. And that should be on billboards all over. God is a righteous God. What He does is right. His Word stands. That verse is just as important as all the rest of them are. As John 3:16, as Acts 2:38, as Romans 8:28. It is truth. Like you said, Paul, when the seminaries have been invaded and the Judeo-Christian churches today don't recognize the Old Testament. Oh, no, that's... I remember Pastor talking. Well, it's been almost 50 years ago that he was in seminary. But we've all heard his messages where he said that, you know, he had a question. Well, what about... That basically what they taught was that the Old Testament was God dealing with the Jews and the New Testament is God dealing with the Gentiles. And it's two totally separate things. And it's not. And 50 years ago that was being taught wrong. And Pastor understood that. And you know, praise God that we have an inkling of that understanding as well, that God is the same. He does not change, and he cannot lie. And so when he says, if you forget the law, if we forget his law, he will forget our children. And we see that has happened in this new JERUSALEM. At least some of us see that has happened. But again, even the good news with that is that when his remnant remembers his law and turns back to it, that then he remembers their children. And so there, you know, there is that blessing in this as well, in this warning, in this truth.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that people need to do. I mean, it's not just remembering the law. I mean, you remember the law, that's part of it. Understanding that there is a law, that's a huge part of it, and that's one of the things that's been taken out of the church, is remembering it, looking to it, keeping the commandments, you know, being a godly person, being a good person, being honest. You know, there's so many things. We could go on and on and on and on that. And, you know, it's a lifetime of lessons that a person's got to go through. You know, right now we see, you talk about the sicknesses and the stuff that's going on. I thought it was interesting. CDC just got caught this week, and basically they've been, the headlines read, CDC caught inflating flu deaths to sell more vaccines. And basically they found out that, you know, they've been coming out and they've been inflating these deaths, and they were saying that they've got so many thousand deaths of the influenza virus, and actually it's a fraction of what they, when they started going up, and they're like, okay, where are you getting these numbers? How are you coming up with these numbers? Actually, you know, the influenza virus this year isn't that bad. We haven't had that many people die of it. That shows what the enemy is doing, you know, and how that we're just constantly targeted. When you see that, you know, they can take 3,600 and blow up, let's add a zero here, let's add a zero there, a couple here and there. You know, that makes a huge difference. And the scare tactics, boy, they sure work on people. And there was people that, they said that one of the reports came out that said that when they published the new death toll from the influenza virus this year, that their vaccine selling scheme went up 20% in that month. So it's, you know, you talk about fear tactics. It's, you know, it's, what you read in the news ain't necessarily the way it is. And, you know, people look to the CDC like, they wouldn't lie to us. Well, they've been lying to everybody for a long time. You know, they've been lying about the vaccination payoff. They've been lying about what's in the vaccines, because they've been lying about the death toll. And, you know, it's just another organization that is tied in with the multi-billion-dollar-a-year industry, and that's cancer.
Yeah, it's funny, because then you always, like you said, Jason, they always say, well, why would they do that? Why would they lie to us? And, like, you know, and then the common answer that I always hear is, well, they just don't get it. Well, yes, they do get it. You know, they get it real good, and sheep simply don't want to admit the fact that there's an enemy, and that, you know, something that actually makes sense. They're trying to take you out. They are trying to take you out, and they're doing a good job at it, and you don't want to admit it. It's that simple. Bill, because if you look at them as an enemy, now all of a sudden it's, you know, now all of a sudden you can see it clearly. But people have been so programmed, like, no, they're friends. They're trying to do, you know, they're trying to do good by us, and it's just simply not so.
Absolutely. I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah, they do the will of their father.
That's one of the important lessons that Dad tried to teach us, you know, throughout the time of his ministry, was be suspicious, you know. Be on the alert. Be on guard, you know.
Israel's greatest weakness is naivety.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something. I mean, and you see it on, I mean, you know, the CDC is just a small part of it, but it's, you know, you see it with these 5G situation that's coming out with them switching over to 5G, and, you know, some countries are trying to ban it, some countries aren't, but it's like, you know, oh, that's, you know, people want faster internet. It doesn't matter if it'll make you sterile or if it makes women not be able to carry babies, or, you know, it doesn't matter what the consequences of that are. They want the faster internet.
That's right. Denver is looking at 500 new 30-foot tall cell poles around Denver's in the neighborhoods, not downtown, but in the neighborhoods. And we're going to talk about that on the review of the news in the morning. But we've talked about this 5G, how it's a totally different wavelength, a totally different system, and companies have taken steps to where they want to put over 1,000 transmitters on utility poles just in the Denver, metropolitan, the Denver residential areas. It's coming, and you see it. There's very few people that are against it. The only reason that most people are against it is that for aesthetic value. I don't want another pole. We have a telephone pole there. I don't want another pole in my front yard or here or there. But they are basically looking at almost, you'll have a tower, they're playing anyway, to have one of these 5G towers in every block. Every residential block, because of the difference in wavelength, and to prepare for this 5G, they've already got, it says here, 163 freestanding 5G cell poles. They've requested permits for 350 more, and that doesn't include the existing towers, telephone poles, things like that that they've put these 5G. Or are preparing to put these 5G transmitters on, and it is a whole different ball game for sure.
Yeah, and not to mention that it generates radio frequency radiation that can DNA, lead to cancer, cause oxidative damage that can cause premature aging, disrupt cells, and disrupt metabolism, potentially lead to other diseases. Yeah.
Well, you know what's going on too in the indoor realm of wireless is that I was just looking at some new wireless access points that they're deploying at the university, and they're pretty close to doing away with the hardwired connections. The only reason that they're still going to have them is for security reasons, because it's easy to hack into a wireless network, much easier than obviously a closed hardwired network. But I was up in the office of our wireless administrator the other day, and he's got like six of these new wireless access points mounted to a rack and wired up to basically monitor, you know, what they're capable of doing. He's got them all facing right against him in his cubicle, and I'm like, are you trying to radiate yourself? I mean, we might as well just stick your head in a microwave or something. And they just don't get it.
Yeah, no.
People don't get it.
Right, they don't.
But the power that's in these new wireless access points that they're deploying, you know, within buildings is unbelievable compared to what it was just 5 years ago.
Yeah, it is. It's made a lot of changes.
Like Paul says, without God's grace, mercy, compassion, and intervention, without him remembering that for his people and finding us worthy to escape the things that are coming, then, you know, that's our best weapon offensively and defensively is plead the blood of Jesus over us, because that's the only thing that's going to save us from all of these things that are going on.
Amen.
It's time to cry out.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the good news is the enemy thinks they got this thing won, you know, and was it Psalms 2 that says, or Proverbs 2 that says, the Lord sits in the heavens and he laughs at them, you know, so laughs and scoffs at them.
And in Revelation, the queen thinks she's indestructible, but she's going to get a new lesson.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
You know, that's what we got to remember. You know, that the gospel is the good news, because we're talking about a lot of stuff and where that, what, you know, like Pastor Peters said, you know, the enemy's all around us. That way you can just start shooting because you can't miss them, because that's just the way it is, you know. But we got to remember the gospel is the good news, and we in the book, we know the end of the book, and we win, and that's what we have to have. You know, we got to have a, you know, I went through a negative time in my life, but you really didn't want to be around me because all I could see was wrong. And then I think we got a little bit of that right today. We got to look at what's right, you know. There is hope. They will not win, so, but they're darn close, it looks like, don't it?
Amen. You know, 1 Kings 17 talks about Elijah. And, Pastor, I remember that message he brought, the bravest thing that Elijah ever did. And that's, if you're not familiar with that story, Remnant, it's available on CD, and I'd suggest that you get it, because it is a faith building. It is a great description of 1 Kings 17, Elijah. And, you know, there were many widows there. It was a time of famine. It was a time of dying. And Elijah comes to this widow, and he says, hey, make me a meal. And she says, you know, I'm making a meal for me and my son, and then we're going to die. And he says in verse 13, do not fear. Do not fear. And don't have time to finish the story about that today, but I encourage you to go read that, 1 Kings 17, because she obeyed, she had faith, and she and her son lived. They survived. And it talks later that, I think in the New Testament, it references this back and about that there were a lot of widows in Elijah's day that didn't make it. But this one did. Because of her belief, of her faith, of her obedience, she lived. She and her son survived because of their faith. And we are to live by faith. And God has these stories like that for days like today, for times like that we are living in right now. Well, guys, a couple minutes before we wrap up and invite everybody to church. If anybody wants to close out with a good word.
Keep fighting the good fight. Keep praying. Got to keep providing that prayer support for the righteous angels that are battling Leviathan in the high places. The enemy thinks that they got this thing won, and you can see that they've pulled out all the stops, and there's really no, I don't know, there's no order to the things that are going on. It's chaos, but it's what we've prayed for, you know, that God would send chaos into the camp of the enemy and confusion and, you know, the things, when you just read the briefs and what the attorneys are tweeting and stuff, they're just incriminating themselves and turning on one another in every form of communication there is. And, you know, a lot of this is written communication, so it's there's no doubt that God's got his hand on this thing. But the fact that Bloomberg just jumped into it too, you know, another billionaire is significant in the fight, I think, because the other idiots all running, it was pretty obvious that they were communist socialists, and I think he's a little bit more sly in the way that he'll present what he wants to represent. He's not as big an idiot as some of these people. You know, they actually came out the other day saying that Beto O'Rourke made a big mistake by telling people up front that he wants to take their guns. You got to wait till you get into office, you know, lie to them until
right.
you get in that position and then take their guns.
And they say that. They say that. It's not like it's in secret memos. They like you said, John, they yeah. print it out. They text it. They tweet it. They tell people that's in print that, oh, you have to lie, just like they talked about that with the red flag laws. That hey, don't push and don't tell people you're going to come take their guns. Just do it in secret. They just come out and say that. They can't help it. I think it's part of that, what our pastor taught on those rules of warfare, that the enemy has to tell you either what they've done or what they're going to do, what they want to do. It's a rule of warfare that they have to do that. They cannot help it. They can't help it because they are being guided and directed. Even in their evil actions, God is there controlling it all. I like what was mentioned earlier. He sits in the heavens and he laughs. He just does. He says, "You think you're doing this? You think you're going to come against my people like this?" And he's going to let them get built right up to that crescendo, just like Pharaoh chasing the children of Israel. When the Red Sea opened and the children walked across on dry land, Pharaoh came up with his chariots and he said, "Aha, we got them now." And he followed, and it was to his destruction. Praise God. Well, Remnant, we're out of time this morning. We do want to invite you to church tomorrow.
I think that we got to realize that.
Go ahead, Paul.
No, God's going to be glorified in all of this.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to glorify God at church tomorrow, so we invite you to come with us. You can join us at scripturesforamerica.org starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. For the live video stream, and we will have a little bit of everything for you. Timeless Pulpit Truth. John, looking forward to your message tomorrow, and we'll have communion. And so you can come join us, and we ask you to do that. That's an invitation to the remnant to join us for fellowship and for the not forsaking the assembly. That's one of the things that we're told to do, is to not forsake it. So we're going to have assembly tomorrow. Come and join us. Thanks again. And, men, thanks for joining us, and hope you have a blessed weekend.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
This country stolen, keep on rolling over Snake High. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, Snake High.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their Snake High. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting,
be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head